Let me say to you this morning, first and foremost, I count it a privilege each and every day, not just the day, I'm going to break it down to each and every minute, to be your pastor and to pastor this church. And I do not take that lightly. I probably put more stress on myself about that than I should. But I want you to know how much I love you, how much I love our church, and how much I'm excited about the future of our church, wherever it is God's taking us, and whatever he wants us to do. And sometimes in my prayer time, I'll say, I don't know, God. That's going to be hard. We just got to be obedient. But I just want to say that to you this morning, that I really enjoy being your pastor. And I love the kingdom, I love God, and I love this word. This morning, as we talked earlier about strong women and godly women and the influence and what the scripture says about that, we're going to delve into that in just a minute, and how important it is. I remember growing up, I grew up actually in a small little Methodist church in Hughley, Alabama. And if you don't know where Hughley is, you're like the rest of the world. And it's not close to anything. I tell people probably around here when people ask me, where are you from originally? And I tell them, I said, the closest thing you know of is Auburn. It's about 20 miles from Auburn. And if you don't know where Auburn is, if I just say it's 20 miles from Auburn University, then everybody in the Southeast knows where that is. Now, Don't connect me to them, whatever you do. We just won't go there. And I'm thankful for my mother this morning. I'm thankful, one, she's still with us, all 4 foot, 10 and a half inches. And I'm thankful for the influence that she had on my life. Because I'll tell you, if it wasn't for that strong, godly woman's influence in my life, I probably wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today. And the importance of strong women, we only have one mother, but there were many strong women in my life, as well as many strong men in my life, probably not as many strong men in my life as I look back and think there should have been. And men, let me say to you, that's an indictment of us in the church, and I'll get to you next month. So as we delve into this word here, men, I don't want you to cut me off right now and say, oh, this is aimed at women, this is aimed at mothers. I'm going to tell you, at the end of this scripture, you're going to find out, men, this is aimed at us probably at least as much, if not more, than the women. And how we as men, godly men, are to support godly women and to help them be the godly women the scripture says they are to be. I'm glad one said that. Did y'all hear me, ladies? It is our responsibility as men, godly men, to help you be the godly woman you are to be according to the scripture. Men, why are y'all so quiet right there? I have not always been great at that. And I'll just go ahead and probably profess to you right now, I'm not great at that right now. I try every day and I fail. But let's get into this. If you will, turn to Proverbs. It's the 31st chapter in Proverbs. It's the last chapter, and there's been much debate about who wrote this particular chapter, and at the end of the day, who wrote it really probably doesn't matter, because God spoke it. And one interesting view of this, of who wrote it, was Bathsheba. And when I read that, And studying this chapter, I thought, it's probably very appropriate if she did. I'm not saying she did, but there is a belief that that's who it was. And if you remember about David and Bathsheba and all of that, and we're going to kind of hit around that, not mentioning them by name, but we're going to be in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, the 20th through the 23rd verse, and then the 30th and 31st verse. Ladies, let me tell you, in the church, in the kingdom, you are important. You are a first-class citizen. You are not second class. The scripture does not teach women to be second class citizens. If you read it that way, you're reading your Bible incorrectly. There is an importance of women. There is an importance in the scripture. Now, we have to take things, when we read the Bible, we have to take things in the perspective of when it was written and the context that things are written in. And then we have to take that and we have to apply it to our lives in modern times. And you say you can't do that. Yes, you can. You can. Remember, the scripture was written for us. It wasn't written to us. It was written for us. So let's get into this. And the first point I want to make, and let me just stop right here. Because if I don't, I'm going to be disobedient. Last week, I had a prayer request that I picked up in the altar. Matter of fact, I've had it 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. And each time God has said, you need to say something, especially last week. And we in that prayer request, and you've heard John mention it during prayer time, about Joel Foster, who received a lung transplant. And we celebrate that and we praise that. And God last week says, Marty, you need to say something about that. In the light of her getting life, somewhere there's a family that is mourning a death. And we need to remember that and be in prayer for that. I don't know why God impressed that on me so much last week, and I didn't do it purposely. But I want to make sure that we're praying both for Jill Foster and also the family on the other side of that, whoever they may be. God knows who it is. We don't have to. Because through life, there was a death. And if we really think about it, church, do you hear me? Through death, we have life. Through the death of Jesus Christ, we have life. And I'm not going to charge you any extra for that this morning. That's just God wanting me to impress that upon you. First point I want to make about women this morning is an excellent woman cares for others. Cares for others. Look at verse 20 there in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Godly women are always on mission, constantly. Probably more on mission than we men are. Godly women are constantly on mission. They're always caring for other people. Godly women are known by how they treat and take care of other people. That is one way, and a good way, that they are known. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John, the 13th chapter, the 34th and 35th verse, he said, this new commandment I give you, to love others. Love others like you love yourselves. And he says, this is how they're going to know that you're my disciples, is how you love other people. Godly women are known how they take care of people. A godly woman doesn't have to run around and say, look at me, I'm godly. No, you can see it. You can see it in their actions. You can hear it in their voices. You can hear it in their speech, the way they live their life. Godly women are always taking care of other people. Sometimes my wife does things in taking care of other people, and I'm just like, why are you doing that? I'm like, you're adding the stress to your life that you don't need to. And she'll say, Marty, it's just because we're supposed to. And me as a man forgets that sometimes. Don't we, men? We forget that. My wife cooks a meal. I jokingly say this, and you've heard me say it before, that the best time I eat in my house is when somebody we know dies, because my wife cooks for an army. And there's always, she says, I said, you're cooking all that for them? Well, I'm saving you some. Now, I'm not hoping anybody dies so my wife will cook this huge amount of great food. But I'm just saying, women take care of people. It's in them. I believe it's part of the way God created them, to nurture and to care for other people. That is not a sexist thing. That's just who God made women to be, to take care of people and to love people. And I believe that scripture, it's what it's saying. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. We know them. to be disciples of Christ the way godly women take care of other people. Verse 21 and 22, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. I think the vast run, talking about snow, I think it's funny that that's mentioned in the scripture there, talking about snow. Isn't it crazy the run on grocery stores when it snows? My brother-in-law was in the grocery business his entire life. And I always accused him. I said, I think you and all grocery people and meteorologists have this grand scheme that when business is slow, they call y'all, the meteorologist does, calls y'all and says, hey, would you forecast a little snow? Or they call the meteorologist, yeah, it's July and it's 112 outside, but we'll do it. And then I don't care, in East Tennessee, if somebody in the middle of July forecasted snow, we would make a run on the grocery store. We'd lose our mind. But I think, you know, and the more I'm starting to think about that, maybe that's women preparing, because the scripture says snow don't scare her. She takes care of her household. She prepares. I think in every situation, a woman, a godly woman, is looking to take care of her family, be it children, husband, distant family, immediate family. Women are just caring people, especially godly women. And they're doing it for the right reasons, not about themselves, but about others. And that God be seen in them and what they do. You know, the thing I think is disturbing in our country is how we're quick to throw people away. In my years of working in home health, I practically saw that every day, where families would just say, oh, well, they're sick, so what? Mom and dad's sick, so what? We'll just put them somewhere. And there is a time to do that. I'm not fussing about that. But I'm just saying, we're quick to throw people away. Godly women, and I've seen this, are quick to take care of people. I've seen godly women take their family and keep them in their homes far beyond keeping someone in their home and actually destroy them financially and in other ways, just to take care of somebody. Somebody they love, taking care. Godly women take care of people. Don't forget that. And we should celebrate, and we are today. We are celebrating godly women today and strong women. It's our responsibility, not just the women, but men, it's our responsibility to support godly women in taking care of other people. Another way that women take care of other people, especially families, and take care of their families. If we go back to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, it tells you in there, what does it say? Impress upon your children. Impress upon the people you know. Impress upon your family, whatever. When you're up, impress upon them the Lord. When you're sitting, do it. When you're standing, when you're getting up, when you're sleeping, when you're going to sleep, when you're getting up, put it on the doorpost, put it on your gates. What that is saying is keep God in the forefront. Keep him in the forefront. And I believe women lead that. If we look at the modern church, women, we depend on women. I'm going to say something. It's not going to be popular with some hardcore people that might be watching or might be sitting in here and all that stuff. There's some that have the attitude and use the Bible to say this, that women are not important and women shouldn't be leading, but we sure don't mind letting them do anything in the church and pushing them, well, we'll let you serve other people. We'll let you cook for people. We'll let you teach Sunday school. But some people will use the scripture incorrectly and say women are not important. It's not what the scripture says. Matter of fact, I think in the beginning, when God created man and woman, they were created in God's likeness. I'm not sure, but I think that's scripture. You can check me on that. Women are important. They take care. They help take care of families. As you heard Celeste and Courtney say this morning, the importance of godly women and the influence they have. Ladies, you may not have given birth, You may not have adopted children. Let me tell you, adoption is a wonderful thing. Because God adopted us. We're to support and love everyone. And that women are a prime, godly women are a prime example of that. Do not, hey, I've taught kids. I've taught kids for years. And the words you say, and I remember one time, Bill Cunningham, who's gone on to be with the Lord, he and I taught teen kid together. We taught fourth grade boys. That was the craziest bunch of little boys I've ever seen in my life. We finished one quarter of the curriculum. And I said, Bill says, they haven't heard a word we've said any Wednesday night. I said, I know it. And I just invented this game. I said, we're going to go outside. I said, guys, this Wednesday we're going to play football. And it was in the wintertime. It was cold outside and it was dark outside. We didn't care. And I said, but the only way you get to keep the ball and keep progressing forward is if you answer a question that we asked from this last 12 weeks. And I want you to know they answered every question correctly. And Bill's like, where did these kids come from? Because they were not the same boys that sat in our class. Listen, the words you say and the things you do have impact on lives, especially children. Don't take that lightly. They're like sponges. And trust me, they will repeat some things you say at the most inopportune times. And if you don't believe that, you just ask my wife about my daughter when her parents came to visit one time. They will say things that'll make a man run into the kitchen and act like he's busy doing something else. So he's not a part of that story. Godly women take care of people. Second thing is an excellent woman has a good reputation. A godly woman has a good reputation. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, what I want you to take away from this is a godly woman having a good reputation is more than just a godly woman that is married. It's women in general. Godly women have a good reputation. Excuse me. Let me brag a minute. I went to work over at UT Hospital a little over 2 years ago. And when I was going around, of course, most people know me now. But when they would introduce me, they would say, do you know who this is? And instantly, I start thinking in my head, I bet they do. And I start rolling in my head my accomplishments. And how important I am. And I don't know why they're, you know, part of me is like, I don't know why they're bragging about, do you know who this is? Like I'm something special. And they're like, no, this is Jennifer Henry's husband. Now, my wife's been over there for 30-some years, and everybody over there knows her. So I had to be on my P's and Q's over there. But they said, do you know who he is? It's Jennifer Henry's husband. My head just goes like this right here because I thought maybe they saw that interview on me and on the news when I was going to the World Series or something, or maybe there's something else I don't know about they know about that how great I am, and then I realized, no, you're not great at all. It's my wife who's great. This is Jennifer Henry's husband. Godly women have a good reputation, and that those good reputations helps everyone around them. It helps me in my job. Sometimes I can name drop. Main one I drop's my wife's name. And I can get away with some things. Not in a bad way. I can get away with getting what I need because I can name drop my wife's name because of her reputation. Ladies, a godly woman has a good reputation. And how do you get a good reputation? By doing good godly things. That's how it is. Our reputations are based on what people know about us, what they hear us say, the things we do. And that can be good, and that can be bad. But godly women have a good reputation. And in the scripture right there, Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. A godly woman doesn't bring shame on anybody. And in this scripture, that man is known by his wife's good reputation. Men, how important are women and their reputation? The scripture says it's very important. Ladies, it's important to have a good reputation. In the way you act, the things you say, your actions, all of that. It's good. The scripture says a godly woman has that. People are constantly judging us by our words and our actions. Proverbs, if we just back up, you don't have to turn there. The 22nd chapter in the first verse says, it's better to choose a good reputation than it is wealth. And a good reputation is better than silver and gold. It's better than that. Also, Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the first verse says, a good name is better than precious ointment. Well, if you look in the scripture, a lot of times we read about perfume or ointment and how valuable it is. But in those times, and you look at that, and there are some very valuable ointments and perfumes today. But let me tell you the difference in a good reputation and a very valuable perfume or ointment. A reputation will last you. An expensive ointment or perfume will eventually fade away. But your reputation you will keep for a long time. Now, here's a caveat to that. It takes a long time to build up a good reputation, but it only takes about 30 seconds to destroy one. We are to be on mission, everyone, like godly women are, constantly on mission for God, living a godly life, speaking godly words, performing godly actions, to help build our reputation, first and foremost, to reflect on the kingdom, and I think second, to reflect on everybody else. Strong godly women are a representative of the king. And men, we're to help them maintain that reputation, not compromise their reputation. Godly women care for others. An excellent woman cares for others. An excellent woman has a good reputation. And the last one is an excellent woman fears God. An excellent woman fears God. Look at verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, the next few minutes are going to be a little tough. And guys, I'm going to be tough on you in this one. And when I say guys, I'm going to be tough on you, guys, I'm being tough on me. All right? But ladies, don't miss your part of this either. Charm. Let's talk about charm for just a minute. What is charm? If we look at it, basically the definition of charm, it's appearing to have the interest of others when in the bottom line you have your own interest at heart. That's what charm is. You know, you hear this, oh, isn't he charming? The more I study that word, the less gooder and gooder that word gets. And I don't want to be charming. Because charming and beauty are outward and they're physical. That's what those two things are in those scriptures. Charm, appearing to have the interest of others when really it's your own interest. And we see that in the very beginning of time, in the third chapter of Genesis, in the first through the seventh verse, we see the interaction between Satan and Eve and Adam. Not just Satan and Eve, Satan with Eve and Adam. And what does Satan do? He is charming. Matter of fact, the scripture says he's the best at it of all of them. And he's charming Eve. Look at this. Leading her to believe that what he's telling her is right. And it's good. Oh, I've got your interest in mind. This fruit is beautiful. Eve saw it. She said, yeah, that does look good. And you know what? God doesn't really have your interest in mind. I think the Satan is saying to her, God is the charming one here, not me, because God didn't want you to be as smart as him. God didn't want you to know the things he knows, because he knows if you eat this fruit, and we commonly call it an apple, we don't really know what it was, you're going to be like God. I've got your interest in mind. And she takes of it, she eats it, and guys, she turns and hands it to Adam, who was right there. Right there. But we men like to stop reading the scripture right there. We like to cut it off and say, would y'all do it? When guys, he was standing right there the whole time going, And he took it too. Satan was very charming and led them to believe that he had their interest in mind when he didn't care. He was trying to destroy the kingdom. And he set off a horrible event right there that is affecting us to this day, and it's called sin. Because he was charming. Let me go one step further. Guys, ladies, beware of this next guy, that charming guy that you might be dating or might be somebody in your life, a guy. Protect yourself. Watch out for that charming guy. Man, he looks good, and he's got your best interest in mind, or at least that's what he wants you to think. Man, you sure are pretty. I just love you so much. Let me say this about that bag. It's got glitter all over it. Glitter is of Satan. I got that out of the bag on my desk and glitter went there. I'll have glitter on me somewhere for the next 6 months because of this bag. But you know, it's pretty and it's nice. It's got a pretty bow on it. It's got this red paper and it catches the eye. It's a charming bag. And guys can be like that. Ladies, maintain your godly womanness. Protect it. Because Satan can come in a whole lot of forms. Men, Satan can come in a whole lot of forms to us too. But that charming guy, ladies, is looking at you as a godly woman. I've got your best interest in mind. Where you go to church? I'm going with you now. I like it. You can tell when a guy's trying to be charming, the first time you meet him and he's with a girlfriend or whatever, he comes to the church, he comes through the door speaking King James English. How are thou, brother? I'm doing greateth. Welcometh to the churcheth. He's charming. And he thinks you might start thinking, he's got my best interest in mind. Let me tell you, he's got something else on his mind. He does. And he's going to trip you up as a godly woman because he's not a godly man. We got to be careful. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago about who we have our relationships with, who we enter into business with. We're not to be unequally yoked together. Listen, ladies, boys, girls, women, men, if you're dating someone, if they're not a Christian, you better, don't do no missionary dating. I'm just telling you right now, it's hard. It'll be difficult. You know, he tells you how beautiful you are. Man, he looks so good. He's got every quality I'm looking for in a man. And then he starts, maybe I think we ought to take our relationship to the next level. You a godly woman, and I'm a godly man. Let's take it to the next level. And I think the only way we can experience that is not in the living room, but it's in the bedroom. And I start looking at this charming guy. Man, he's pretty, got a pretty bow. He's got pretty hair. He's got them skinny jeans on. He looks good. And he is the total package. Remember, charm and beauty is exterior. And then I look, get to, and I find out on the inside, he's a lemon. He's a lemon. He's sour. And I can look at that. When you go to pick out a lemon at the grocery store, you look for a bright yellow one, don't you? You look at what's on the outside. But on the inside, it's sour. And that's what this guy is. Ladies, let me tell you, put him back in his package and put him on his way. Don't let him interfere with you and in what God has called you to be and God has called you to do. Men, if that's you, you probably need to cut off your relationships with women and get right with God first. Then pursue a godly woman. Godly and excellent woman fears God. Charm promises undeliverable goods. Undeliverable goods. Stay away from a charmer. Vain beauty. What is vain beauty? When you feel like beauty is your only thing. That's if your beauty is who you are, that's vain. And that's wrong. Scripture says that. Charm is deceitful. It's a liar. And beauty is vain. Vain. That's all you are. That's an exterior thing. Have you ever bought produce that looks really good and you get it home and slice into it and it's completely rotten on the inside? Eventually, and I don't mean this ugly, we are not always going to look like we did when we were 16 years old. Beauty is fleeting. But what's important is what's on the inside. What makes you who you are? First and foremost, whose are you? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to God? Is what you are, who you are, on the inside where Jesus is? Leading you and directing you, are you that godly person? Beauty will fade. I tell when I counsel premarital counseling and a wedding service, the first thing I say to them, I say it in counseling on the first session, and then I say it at the service itself, the very first thing I'll say. Here's my first question. I'll look at each one of them individually, and I'll ask, do you love Jesus more than you love her? And I'll look at her, do you love Jesus more than you love him? Because if you do, this marriage is going to be great. If I always maintain that I love Jesus more than anything else. Well, why is that important? Because if I love Jesus more than anything else, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. He is going to direct my life. He is going to prevent me from getting in the potholes in life. My marriage is going to be good long term. And I always say this too. Listen, you just think you love each other right now. You wait 10, 20, 30 years. I think the longer you go along in a marriage, the more you love them. When I said I do to my wife on June the 10th, 1989, and I said I loved her and I used to tell her, I still do tell her I love her, but wow, that really almost came, the lights blink when I say that. But I didn't understand love then. I thought I did. Because if I'm honest with you, I was looking at the outside package. And what I love is really deep down inside. And I love my wife more today, 33 years later, 34 years later now. Almost got in trouble. 34 years later, love her 34 million years later more than I did June the 10th, 1989. And I see the godly woman she is. And I long for you to have that and for every Christian to have that. Women, it's important that you be godly. It's important. You are important to God and the kingdom. An excellent woman cares for others. An excellent woman has a good reputation, and an excellent woman fears God. And when it comes down to it, this kind of wraps around right back to the first chapter in Proverbs, where it says the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Notice it says the beginning, acknowledging God first. And then I'll start learning more about him and I develop my relationship with him. First Peter, the third chapter, the third and fourth verse says, it's not an external trait like makeup, hair, and jewelry. It's not that. It's an internal adorning that is peaceful, is gentle, and a quiet spirit. Don't take that wrong, ladies, that you're not to speak. That's not what that says. Really means all of us should be peaceful. We should have a quiet spirit, and we should be gentle. We all should fear the Lord. And when I start fearing Him, my knowledge starts growing. And I start saying, okay, you teach me, God. I'm tired of being the teacher. I want to be the student. Fear God first, ladies. Men, support these women who are fearing God first. Help them to be godly women by being a godly man. Proverbs, the first chapter, 7th verse says that. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Are you a godly woman, ladies? Men, are you a godly man? You can't be that without God. How do I start that? It's a relationship with Him. And this morning, I would implore you to come to know Jesus. Johnny's going to be down here. John's in the back. I'll be outside. Come and meet Jesus. Fear the Lord and begin that knowledge of Him. Will you stand and let's pray? God, we love you so much. God, I pray that as men, we love godly women and that we support godly women. And God, I pray that women realize they're not second class, third class citizens in your kingdom. They're first class. Your scripture says that. They are important. God, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know you in a very personal way, that today they come to know you. And God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.